So if you were baptized in that church, the Fieldings must have only taken over the church.
In 1934. I was baptized in 31. And it was demolished in 34. In fact, I'm connected with St. Stephen's, St. Paul's. In fact, I've got some stuff to drop off here today. And I want to find out now what there is on St. Luke's Church in the archives here so that I can have a look at it.
Yeah. I'd love to hear of anything that you find with the Fielding connection and Fielding taking over the building. That would be great.
Well, I actually would have been there when the church was there. If you came up from the Bristol Road towards the factory main gate, and then there was a street went off to the right, that was Church Street, right? I would imagine the church itself was sort of in the area in front of the main entrance to the factory, not the road entrance, the actual works entrance, and the heavy machine shop, which was on your left, and of course the churchyard, and it would have been in that area. In fact, when I was down at the exhibition, I looked at that ordnance survey map that's on the wall there, and the church is actually shown on there, and that's the only map I've seen with the church up to now with the church shown on it, St. Luke's. Because the two churches in, one in Bristol Road, St. Stephen's, which is now closed, where I attended for over 70 years, and what was St. Paul's in Stroud Road, they were built to accommodate the increased area of habitation down that Bristol Road area and the Stroud Road area. And the plans that they'd had for expanding St. Luke's were abandoned and the church was taken down. It was only a red brick church. It wasn't one with a spire or anything like that. But it was demolished in 1934.
That's fascinating. No one else has been able to tell me that, so that's brilliant.
I've got to try and get some information on St. Luke's.
You said that after the apprentice had fainted, when the rat had crawled over his shoulder, you took him to the first aid room. What was that first aid room like?
Oh, it was very good. It was about as big as this room we're in now. And there was a full-time nurse in there. And then, of course, we had... Because factories in those days were dangerous places. You know, dangerous places. And it needed a full-time nurse. And there was a work doctor, of course, who used to come in every now and again. And if you were off work for any length of time, the work doctor would come and make sure that you were off for a genuine reason, you know, and not just taking time off.
Did you ever have to go and see either the nurse or the doctor for any reason, that for any injury that you'd sustained when you were at Fieldings?
I had a bad injury playing rugby, and I went to my own doctor and he told me not to go to work. Well, when that happened, you had to get in touch with the works and tell them that. And then they would, if you were in a fit condition, that they could bring you in and find you a light job or something like that. That's what they used to do. And I went in, they called me in, and I saw the works doctor. And they gave me a clerical job to do for a couple of weeks. You know, that was the way it used to work.
Was that just in an office then? One of the offices?
You see, in those days, there was no such thing as National Health money, you know, that sort of thing. So if you were off work, you lost your money. That was it and all about it. But Fieldings were very good in that respect. If they could find you something to do so that you didn't lose your money, that's what they would do.
And you'd be paid at the same rate that you would have been paid for the normal job?
Yeah. I mean, when you were an apprentice, you were paid the rate according to which year you were in and what age you were. I mean, when I started at 16, my wage, I think, was 16 shillings a week. And then when I had my 17th birthday in the following March, it went up to £1. And then it would go up every birthday. So just because you were working with skilled men, you didn't get the same money as them. You got the apprentice rate for however old you were. Yeah.
And did the first aid room smell surgical at all? Yeah. And what sort of things could be treated in the first aid room? When would you have to say go to hospital?
The nurse would make the decision. If somebody, for instance, fell, and it was quite obvious when they got them into the first aid room that they'd broken an arm, then she would get them taken to hospital. Didn't call ambulances in those days because they weren't available. So there used to be a car in the works that was used for running about. So they would put them in the car and take them up to the hospital. Yeah.
So she could treat things like general cuts and bruises, concussion, that sort of thing.
Yeah. All day long. Yeah.
But if the more serious things like severed fingers or broken arms, then
hospital. Yeah, that's right. But first aid room first, obviously, you know, and they would deal with it there. Yeah. I can't remember her name now, the nurse, but she was very nice, very good. If you had a cold, you could go into the nurse in the morning. She gave you a dose of whatever. Oh, yeah. Because her job was to keep you at work.
So everyone liked her.
Yeah. Yeah. Some more than others.
I just... Before we take a break, I'd just like to talk about a couple of other areas of the works that you've mentioned that no one else has. The first one was the library that you mentioned when you were talking about the apprentice school.
I can't remember much about it.
What do you remember, though?
All I remember, it was a room with a lot of bookshelves on and catalogues going way back. You know, I don't know what happened to all that information, because that was the history of the company in there. You know.
And where was that in the works?
To the technical department, to the drawing office. The Holy of Holies, you know. I had to take my overalls off to go up there and wash my face and hands.
What were the toilet facilities like where you would have done that?
Where?
What were the sort of wash facilities like?
In the works?
Yeah.
Oh, they were all right. Yeah. Yeah. On the standard for those days, you know, they wouldn't be acceptable today, you know.
So the as well as the library, the other area that you mentioned was the stockyard.
The stockyard down the bottom of Baker Street on the Black Road. They used to keep all the very heavy material in there.
So what sort of things would have been kept there? The steel, the wood.
Yeah. Steel sheeting and heavy bars and this sort of thing. And then they would take them out whenever they were required.
Is that where they would have kept the larger wooden patterns from the pattern shop?
No. The wooden patterns from the pattern shop were kept on the sports ground. And during the war, a lot of them were kept up in the Podsmead fields. You know what I mean? With the Podsmead field? Yeah, they were kept up there.
So it'd be quite a walk then for someone if they wanted to get a repeat on a pattern to walk over to Hempstead or the fields to go and collect it.
You see, when I first went there for a couple of years into my apprenticeship, there was a foundry at Fieldings, only for brass and a bit of cast iron, but only small stuff. All the big castings, everything, were made elsewhere. So the patterns for those, when they were made at Fieldings, would be taken away. You wouldn't see them. They were gone. The only time they would come back was when they weren't required anymore. And then they'd be stored, as I say, down the sports field. Might never be used again. Yeah.
Should we just take a break there? Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll tell you what